Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Gimel. We're so fortunate to have Joel Davis back with us after 17 years, and we're at the Mishnah on Amud Beis. So Abba Josh will begin with a rearing to go. Machnis Adam Perotav Mipnei HaGanavim V'sholeh Pishtano Min HaMishra B'shveh Shelo Te'aveh U'Bavad Shelo Yechaven Et Melachto B'Moed. So one of the final things that we're being matir here, that is Mishum Dover HaAved, is that if a person has things outdoor, it's clear that there's a risk that they'll be stolen, he's allowed to bring them in to a watched area, even into his home, take out his Pishtan that has been sitting there in order to break down the pods in the water, but if you leave it there too long, it just rots, so you have to take it out. You can do that as well, but all of the above cases that we've been talking about throughout these Mishnayot is only if there was no intent originally to leave these things specifically for the Moed. So either as the original Mishnayot had it, somebody stood you up, you had Pohalim that had promised to come, they didn't come, or you had rented out your the Bad or the Gat and suddenly became unavailable, or over here perhaps the Pishtan wasn't properly completed as it was supposed to be before the Moed, but in any event, certainly you didn't have it all planned out to use your free time on Chol HaMoed to be able to catch up on your missing work. But Kulam, Im Kivnu Melachtan B'Moed, if indeed you went ahead and had it worked out to do the Melacha during Chol HaMoed, so then Yovedu, let it just be ruined, and you're not allowed to go ahead and utilize it. That's actually a Machlokas Rishon in Rambam and Rashi over here. Learn that even if you went ahead and did, we will ruin it for you, meaning that the president will aser b'ano, and therefore you can't be nene from the Melacha. Not simply that, if you put it in, you have to let it sit there, but even if you would have taken it out and you had fixed it, but you'd originally been mechavim l'achter l'mayit. So this is a fine, basically, that you're given to take it from you. Says the Gemara Tana, u'bevach yachnisim b'tzin alatoch beto, even though over here there's a chashash of ganavim, but as much as possible, you don't want it to look as if you've just gone on a spending spree to pick up things for sale later on, so therefore it's best to do it b'tzina when possible. Now, Rav Yosef had these beams that are very expensive, usable for building, and he was afraid that they might be stolen. And Ayelinu Biyamama, he brought them into his shed during the daytime. It says you're only allowed to do this in a way that doesn't attract attention. Don't be silly. The way that you attract the least attention is by doing it in the daytime. I can do it in the nighttime. First of all, you're going to need more people at night because people can't see exactly where they're going. You're going to need people to help. Not only that, but you're going to have spotlights on it in order for people to be able to lift up these heavy things and move it at night. And then after milta, because of that, it's going to make an awful lot of noise in presenting itself. Everybody's going to notice it. And therefore, this is, to me, the most sanua way in the middle of the afternoon, while everybody else is resting. Go ahead and take it into your own. Question that I have on the closing part of the Mishnah that says that if, in fact, you had been mechavin melachto l'moed, that then you have now a knas, the rabbanon, either that you cannot complete what you had intended to, or even that if you did, that you would not be able to be nene from it. The question is about that knas. Kivein melachto b'moed umed. Ma'ushi kansu banav acharav. Question over here is whether that knas is a din that would apply even to one's children. So let's say the person who does this dies. He himself had done the Yisr Mechavim Melachto L'moed. But it's not that the thing couldn't have been done under other circumstances. So now his heir, who is in no way responsible for the particular circumstances in which it had been done when his father did it, he didn't do anything wrong. So the question is whether the Knas is indeed on the object here, and this thing cannot be netted from it, or perhaps it's only that the person is not allowed to be nana, but if that person is no longer around, there's certainly no iser in the thing itself. Not necessarily. Because it could also be on the pu'ula itself. Not to be able to do it.
No,
The father was mechaven to make sure that he works it out, that he'll be able to use his cholamoy to take the pishton out of the yore. And then he dies during cholamoy. So now the shayla is, does the son have to let it rot, or can the son take it out? He didn't do anything wrong. Right. Even according to those, the question still stands. So imtim salomet sorim ozen bechor konsu b'no acharon. Now we have a similar question that we had in Bukhoros about a case where somebody went ahead and made a mum in a Bukhor. And the din is that if somebody makes a mum in a Bukhor, he's over on the Yisra of mum lo yebo, which we understand to be lo yahayet. Don't create a mum in it. So there also we have a kenas d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to use that Bukhor. Can't have an off from it, as if it's a tam. How about if the guy dies? Can his son use the Bukhor? So perhaps over there, even if you tell me that we did asr the ben, konsu b'no acharav, which is in no way clear, but it's what we raised as an issue there, I would say that that's because it's an issur d'oraita. I mean, the guy was over on issur d'oraita. Over here, even if you hold that molach on chol hamoed is an issur d'oraita, but it's not an issur d'oraita in the case of davar avad. This din is only a din d'rabbanan, that they were kones because he was mechaven molachta. That mechaven molachta was not something that is innately a d'oraita issue. So in other words, whatever the case was, if they hadn't been for mechaven molachta, would have been mutter. So certainly mechaven molachta can't define the isser molachta. So it's not an isser d'oraita. So at furthermore, v'im timtzom, we have another case which is similar. That bachar avdolo veko chavi. Then over there is somebody who owns an eved, because by definition an eved, I'm referring over here to an eved kanani, becomes Jewish by virtue of his being a tovu for avdus. So if you now go ahead and sell him to a non-Jew, you're doing a terrible thing. And putting this person in a position where he's not going to have kosher food, he's not going to be able to daven, it's a disaster. They're going to treat him like some kind of slave. So because of that, they gave a knas, first of all, that you can't, let's say the guy escapes and comes back home, you can't use him anymore. But not only that, you have to spend whatever amount of money it takes to buy him back, and then he's free for having been over on that. So now the question was raised over there also, what's the halacha if the seller, the original owner of the eved, dies, and now his heir, he asks us, can he also use the eved, or does he have to spend the money to buy the eved back? And Rashi learns that it wouldn't apply to the second issue. Because the knas to spend the money, that already we're not talking about. We're talking about just the question of not using the eved if he escapes. But that's a machlokas rishoni, as how far we would go over here with our question. So there too, konsu b'noach harav. Okay, even if that's what we would have determined over there, that the halacha is, I still wouldn't know that that's the case over here when it comes to mechaven melachta b'moed. Why? Because the issue over there is infinitely more drastic than the question over here of mechaven melachta b'moed. I mean, over there, in selling, basically selling a Jew to a guy is what you did. And that means the b'chol yuma mafkilei b'mitzvahs. You're putting him in a position where for the rest of his life, possibly he's not going to be able to do mitzvahs. I mean, you can't do anything worse than that. I also understand that maybe in that case, the rabbi and even were kinesh the ben in order to avoid anybody's ever dreaming of doing such a thing. But the question is over here. Hachama. Do we say gavra kodis rabbonin? Is this knas a din in the gavra, or is it a din in the chefza? Did the individual who did the wrong thing in keeping malakta lamoid, so he now is fine? Well, let's say the gavra no longer exists. He's dead. Odilma mamona kodis rabbonin. Or is it that the rabbonin gave a din on the chefza? This moment that came from Kivei Malachta Lamoed is not usable. In which case, it would apply to anybody. It has nothing to do with whether he himself did the Isser. On Marley, so Rabbi Zera answered to Rabbi Yirmiyah that I'll bring you a raya to Nitua. This is basically a Mishnah. Because we have the same situation when it comes to Shviyat. And over there it says, Sadesh nit kapsa b'shviyit. These are all the matzai shviyit. Someone who went ahead and collected all of the straw and little pieces of wood that had fallen onto a field. Since he's not working, not supposed to do that in a Rabbanan during Shviyat. But if he did it, since it's not avodat karka mamash, he can go ahead and plow that field and sow that field immediately after shvius. But nitaiva or nidaira, if however he went ahead and was mezabel the field, nitaiva means to be mezabel with taking trucks over to drop the fertilizer as it goes, or nidaira would mean that what we talked about yesterday, that we have animals that are let, that are moved from place to place, and that they naturally fertilize the field. So in that case, the earth itself is enhanced, and that too is Osran Shvias. But there, Lotis are Alamotzai Shvias over there, more Machmir, because it was work on the ground itself. The Amr of Yossi Bar Chanina, and when it came to that Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Naktina, that we have a Kabbalah, basically, that a Tiva, the mate, someone who enhanced the field during Shemitah, and he died, that the son is allowed to make use of whatever it is that that man himself was not allowed to make use of. So you see from there, it's clear from there that these type of kedasot are not given on an heir. And it's a din only in the one who was over. Therefore here too, and here we don't have any reason to be machalic the way we had by the Isser and the Uraita, because here it's also only in the Isser and the Rabbanan, as we saw earlier by Shemitah. There's no Isser the Uraita to do Shemitah. It was only the Avos Asur Rahmana. And we don't have the other thing, obviously, of Mafkalei Mimitzvahs, Kol Yuma VeYuma. So why should we be machalic, therefore, between Shemitah and Chol HaMoed, Adarava? Many of the dinim we saw that we kept comparing Shemitah and Chol HaMoed. So you see from here that indeed there's no knas on the chefza, it's on the individual. Amar Abaye, there's another case, Naktina, where we also have a Kabbalah, and that is where teammate Taharotav, who made Lokan Subinu Achra. This is a big chiddush, because the din is over here. Obviously, when somebody does damage, let's say somebody has an automobile accident in which he owes $100,000, he dies. Now the son says, well, I wasn't the one who damaged. I mean, why should I pay? That's absurd. I mean, that's a din in the moment, and it's part of the din that's on the property. Of course he has to pay. But when it comes to Hezek Shenu Nikar, over there, Mi'ikar Adin, you didn't cause damage. Because anything that isn't visible and detectable, which is mostly this further, anything that doesn't, I'll say it according to all the Shitas, anything that doesn't cause a detectable change in the object is definitely not considered to be Hezek. To say that, since I can't use my Truma, because you went ahead and took something tummy and you touched the truma, I don't see any difference. Bring it into the court, let them see. Do you see any difference in this truma? I'm like, well, what's wrong? So therefore, if I don't like a guy, there's a lot of things I could do to him and walk away, get away with murder, basically. So the Rabbanan over there also, they said that Hezek Shen and Nikar, even though you're right, that's not considered to be a chiyuv, we give it a chiyuv. Once you say that, you could understand that to mean that they placed it in the category of Nezek, and therefore once there is a chiyuv, so it goes over now in the child as well. Therefore, says Abaye, we have a Kabbalah, a big chiddush, that even there, lo konsu benoach harav, my time, huh? Because Hezek shenu nikar lav shmei Hezek, nikar adin, he didn't do anything. So it's the pu'ula that we are upset about. The one who did the pu'ula has to pay. L'didei konsu rabbonin, livrei lo konsu rabbonin. There's even a machlokas among the achronim, whether this would apply, even if he was huamad badin. Because, in other words, normally we say, once the court paskins, so then the estate is chayiv. We couldn't care less why it is the court paskins. I've now transferred it into a monetary direct banking issue. How much is this estate worth? There are some who say, but in this case, you can't say that. Because once you're telling me this immense chiddush, that it's only a knas, and that the mechanism of the knas is not to put it into the category of real chiyuvim, so that it remains a knas. I mean, the obvious response to that is even a knas, once it was paskin, now becomes monetary and is no longer a knas. Okay, but there's already a big sugi among the achronim. But it's a machlokas in the achron. Ein lokhin batim avadim ubeima ela letzorach hamoed You're not allowed, we saw earlier, you're not allowed to do business. And here we're talking about buying things, which these things are important things. Why it is that we're saying specifically homes or slaves or an animal, or in our terms, can you buy a car during Chol HaMoed and so on? Is it dafka these things, or are we talking about doing anything, buying anything? The Tosafot says over here that we're talking about doing anything over here. The reason that the Mishnah says these things is because, look, everybody knows. I mean, you bought a new car, everybody sees it. I mean, that, so over here you might think even the Tzarech HaMoed, it would be usher, because people will say, look, this guy's written on that. Now's the time he uses to go to the car dealer. So because of that, we're not even here. But
well,
that's a different question. We spoke about that. The Dovra of it, the Miniyat Arvacha, we spoke about you reach a lakum. Certainly car dealers, I mean, the ultimate.
Yes.
So, but there are some Rishonim that is not the normative approach and is not La Halakha, but the Meiri brings it. There are some of the Mefarshim who say maybe it's Dafri, so that the Batim, Avodim, Behema, which are long-term purchases and so on, that we're mocked it on, attracts attention. The other way, that those are the things that are awesome. But the Stanta, what are you going to buy? You know, you'll buy a new Monopoly game and it's not for the kids to use during Gemayet. I mean, maybe that's not an issue. Lemaisa, any type of buying and selling Stam Nabatzer. Oh, and here's a big chiddush. You can do something that would otherwise be usur. You're buying something that you don't need because the seller needs money. So the seller needs money. You are allowed to act on his behalf in buying as if you need it lamoed. Even though you don't need it lamoed, he needs it lamoed.
Then it doesn't matter what he's selling.
But you're doing what's wrong because he needs, because that itself makes it a Tzarech HaMoed, because it is Tzarech HaMoed.
What if he doesn't have money?
He could just easily win.
Well, he doesn't even have a Tzarech. He made tons of money and sells
that. Well, I assume he has what to eat if he made tons of money.
Right.
I mean, we're into these days, no matter how much money you make, you don't have what to eat.
Is there an issue for you by
I don't understand the question.
Is there an issue for you by selling from?
That's the only issue. That is the issue. There is no other issue. I don't need it. But the seller is a poor man and he needs to sell. Right? That's the point. Sacher buyer. My Tzarech HaMoed as a buyer? That was the first part of the mission. That's my Tzarech HaMoed as a buyer. I think what Scott is trying to get to is if I need to make money in order to live, and therefore I'm buying it in order to sell or something like that, is what we're talking about. That is a big, I mean, the truth is that is a big discussion. How to, it's Nogea, the next piece, so let's wait a minute.
So automatically tell me about the guy who's poor, that he's allowed to sell.
Yeah. That was Shmuel's tain on Rav. Rav had nothing to eat, and Shmuel tain it on him anyway. Right. Unless he literally had no option. Here, I mean, they speak out. Rav obviously had an option. We weren't saying he should starve to death. He had an option. Could have borrowed food. It wasn't pleasant. Could have borrowed money, you know. Or he could have bought food instead. I mean, instead of using his own food, it was out there in the field. You know, so for not on Chashev, we insist that you do that. So, boy, mine Rav Amir Nach. What you're saying over here is interesting. When it comes to business, you can do business for the sake of the person who needs the money. Or vice versa. I think that's what Scott was trying to say. Sometimes it's not so clear. But that the seller doesn't need the money, but the buyer needs the food. So basically, in either direction, somebody's doing something wrong, but I'm selling for your Tzarech HaMoed, or you're buying for my Tzarech HaMoed, right? Is that what you're trying to say? Okay, now that's a very important machlokas here. In a minute, I'll point out to you where it is. So the Shiloh over here is Rava asks Rav Nachman, what about, we take it a step further, what about doing a type of malacha that would be usher to do, but the guy who is doing the service, a malacha, has nothing to eat. So I could hire him to do something for me, which normally I wouldn't do in Chol HaMoed, because I don't have a Tzarech HaMoed in this world. It's not a Dover of it. For him it is. He doesn't have what to eat. So can I hire him to give him the parnasa, which makes it a Tzarech HaMoed? Not for me, but for him. It's a Tzarech HaMoed. I'll never see him again. No, that's the issue. We're going to see. We're going to open up this question about giving people money where you don't trust them that you're going to get what you're going to get your values worth. That's the next piece coming up. So here the question is: Schar pula she'in lo yocha ma omar lei. I mean, it seems to be included in the Mishnah. Tanina o le tzarech hamocher she'in lo ma yocha. on. Explain to me what those words, L'tzorach ha-mocher she'in lo ma yochal, mean. That's how Rashi learned. The other Rishonim learned it. Explain those words. She'in lo ma yochal. There's a big difference between those two. Rashi is learning the whole piece is ek. Why? Because the moment that you told me that I can sell, and this was Scott's point, I can sell though I don't need the money, but you need the food, then it's obvious that I can buy because he needs the money even though I don't need the food. What's the difference between those two things? Therefore, if you're telling me, you're throwing in the words, or for the mocher who doesn't have anything to eat even though I don't need it, the whole piece is an addition. If the whole piece is an addition, it's what's it coming for? What is it adding? My love, must be coming to say that wherever there is a need of one of the parties, even if it goes beyond the question of doing business, which is normally seen as a mutual relationship of buyer and seller. So over here, where there's a malacha that's involved, even that is considered to be mutual enough to make the malacha itself a tzarech hamoed. The others learned that not necessarily included in the relationship, the mutual relationship of business, Richard. Have you been turning on your machine?
Yeah, I took it off early.
Why didn't you put it on during the day?
There was a guy. There was a guy who used to come in here all the time with your deep breathing. You're a black uniform. Anyway, a lot of those guys around. But not necessarily included in a mutual business relationship is the implication that because we need to supply food to the world, that that's considered to be necessarily I am selling because you have a tzarech hamoed. That's considered, that's the norm, is that people have to eat. And therefore, b'chlal, we didn't aser things that need eating. But the extra piece, once you tell me, l'tzorach ha-mocher, what does that mean? It's obvious it means l'tzorach ha-mocher, that he needs to have the money now during the moed. That's what it means. So what are you throwing in those extra words? That's the part that's additional. So that must be coming even to include the schar of the pula, where normally I couldn't do the pula. I'm going to pay him to do the pula. Oh, Marlene, not necessarily. I mean, it certainly couldn't it be Pirushika Mefarish. I mean, he's explaining. What type of Tzorech HaMoed are we talking about? We're talking about a Tzorech HaMoed, which is very fundamental. The guy doesn't have what to eat. Otherwise, I'll say, look, Tzorech HaMoed means that he wants to do some type of luxurious yacht trip or something, and he wants to get this extra money. I mean, what are you talking about? Something that is a real Tzorech HaMoed right now, the most basic needs. Of course, I mean, there are people who walk around with sailboat hats all the time. To them, that's considered... that could be a tzorech hamoed. So that's no right. Etve abay. In kotvim, shtarechov b'moed. V'in eino ma'amino. O she'in lo ma'yochal. And this is really strict. You're not allowed to write IOUs during the chol hamoed. But if the borrower, you don't trust the borrower, or he doesn't have what to eat, what does that mean? Ha'reset yichtov. So she'in lo ma'yochal. To Yemaim. What is this now coming to say? He doesn't have what to eat. Is that a separate? Well, we're assuming that it means the borrower, but that's not an or. I mean, that's the case. He may know my yochal. So my love, la tu yeschar pula. Must be coming to tell me that if the writer, normally when you would make an IOU, you walk into a shop where they sell somebody, and somebody sits there, he's a lavlar, and he writes out the shtar, you pay him, and now you got the shtar. So here there's a poor guy who doesn't have what to eat, and another guy who's investing $100 million. You could spend $2 for the guy who doesn't have what to eat to lend the guy $100 million, which you somehow didn't trust him on without a contract. So what that means is that you can have something done, which is an issue. You're not allowed to write during Chol HaMoed. But since Ein Lo Ma Yochal, apparently we're allowed to do that. Otherwise, what does that additional piece mean? So my lavla to yischar pula shmami. Now, as you see from there, a sofer that doesn't have what to eat. So then he can write. Most of Rav Sheshes.
The reason is for the borrower doesn't have what to eat, so therefore you can hire a sofer to write.
So what does it mean to say? And if he doesn't trust him, or he doesn't have what to eat, what that's supposed to mean?
The borrower.
Or?
Yeah,
what's the or? I understand.
He doesn't trust him.
Or you do trust him, but he doesn't have what to eat. So since he doesn't have what to eat, let's make him sign. Because after all, it's no good thing anyway. Because it doesn't make any sense.
It's not sin individual. One doesn't have what he
exactly. Is. It's two different cases. That's the point the Abaye is making. Otherwise, it doesn't add up. Ask Rav Sheshes, but doesn't it say v'chachamim omrim, even in a place where you have a minhag not to do malacha on Erev Pesach, nonetheless, you should know that shalosh umniyot asim malacha barvei psachinat chatzot. Even where the minhag is not to do malacha before chatzot, there's three types of things that have to remain open on Erev Pesach. And that is a chayatim. The tailors have got to be open, because as soon as you put on your new suit for Pesach, you always find out that now it doesn't fit because you've been eating a little bit too much. Or hasaparim, where you need a haircut. Or hakufsim, the dry cleaners have to remain open till the last minute. Why is this?
It's not Chol HaMoed generally, it's Pesach, so it's not necessarily for what you've eaten.
Are you taking over David's job here? He's the one that always talks about how this sugya works out later.
No.
So, what is the reason? So it offers a reason. Achayatim, the reason that we allow the tailors to remain open, shekein hedyot tofer kedarko v'cholo shel moed, because look, I mean, even during Chol HaMoed, which is more chomer than Erev Pesach, I mean, Erev Pesach is an Indian that you're supposed to be free, or Erev Yontif, to be free to engage in all the tzorchei hayyantif. There's a lot of things to do, especially at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but even not in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no busier day. I mean, they're preparing there for the Seder and the last minute cleanings. The whole morning is the chometz issues and so on. It's a very busy day, but it's not osur as chomur as Chol HaMoed. There's no isur malacha mamish. So over there, even during Chol HaMoed, we would find a way to sew if you really need to. Well, of course, it's only a hedyot. Okay, so where it's less chomer, it's erev yontif. Let's open up the door and allow even the expert tailors to remain open. And then when it comes to the other cases, the saparim and the kofsim, where you have the dry cleaners and the barbers remain open, why? How are you allowed to do that during Chol HaMoed? Because shekein abayim mimedinat hayam vayotze mibeit asurim mutarim lesaper lechapes b'chabes b'cholosh HaMoed. Somebody didn't have an opportunity to have his clothes cleaned or to take a haircut. So he was in the middle of an ocean voyage, or he was a captive in prison. As soon as he gets out, he now needs to go to the tailor, to the koves, or to the sapar. V'yisal gadaitach schar pu'ula she'in lo mayo chal shori. The way you're understanding it is that any malacha can be done. You're giving me a blanket heter. You're saying there are circumstances in which any malacha could be done. All you need to do is find a guy who's desperate for money, and he can do that malacha. No. Is that rarer than having a guy on an ocean voyage? I mean, you're looking for a case. Okay, I'm giving you a case. So let's now be matur all malacha erfes. Forget the whole thing. What are you telling me? Shalosh umniyot. So clearly there is no blanket heter for someone she'in lo mayochal. No, because schar pu'ula she'in lo mayochal. Can always fall back on that position that, well, I could get this done even during Chol HaMoed, so let me do it lechatchila even on Erev Pesach, even without the special needs. Matkifla, Rav Papa, what kind of crazy question is that? Says Rav Papa. Elamiata. I mean, the way you're saying, you should say, let's say I'm wrong, okay? You can't, there's no such thing as a schar pula. You're not allowed to do something just so that somebody gets a parnasa. How about if a building is about to collapse and kill all the people on the street? Are you allowed to take down the building? Fix? We said before that you are, right? So therefore, by your logic, let us say, well, of course you can engage in building on Erev Pesach, because after all, during Chol HaMoed, in the case where a building was going to collapse, you're allowed to engage in building. Is that an intelligent question? Because it's about the same level of intelligence as your question. We should be matir binyan. She came kotel hagohel reshut harabim sotero bonek v'gakom yivnei hasakana or matki floravina. I don't understand what kind of question is this. Me'atal avlar lishterei. She came kotvim kedushin noshim gitim v'shov. Forget about this harpula. We'll see later on that in cases where we need to be matir, because basically boils down to davar avod, you have a chance now to be mekadesh anisha or to be megaresh anisha or to collect the debt if you have a receipt. In all these cases, we're matir later on writing. No, so it's about matir all writing on Erev Yontif and keep open the writing stores. I mean, why not? It has nothing to do with schar pula. Obviously, you're missing a point, aren't you? Don't you see you're missing a point? That it's not that we're looking for any possible opportunities in Chol HaMoed. We're looking to add that to some other issue. Now, what's the other issue? Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Rishonim speak out that, of course, Rav Ashi just explaining what was meant by the other issue that Ravina and Rav Papa were being maramis on, because I mean, they're not throwing the whole thing out, obviously. They're not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. They're just saying you're missing a point. And what is that point, says Rav Ashi? I mean, the simple way of stating the issue over here is you are making a direct correlation between Chol HaMoed and between the 14th of Nisan. There's no direct correlation. Moed Arba'asa Karamita, but there's two different issues over here. The Moed problem surrounds the question of Tircha and the Mokam Pseida Shor Rabban. Okay? The Rabban Ramata certain things where there's a Hepsit. The issue on the 14th has nothing to do with Tircha. It has to do with the idea of being available for Tzorche Yomta, not Sam Tircha, it's always some Aloha. We created a situation which we don't want you to get involved in things other than what is necessary to prepare for Yomtiv. Is a haircut necessary to prepare for Yomtiv? Is having your suit clean necessary for prepare? So I understand what you're asking. First, let's take the categories of things that may be needed for Yomtiv. Now, let's decide whether there would be a way to be matur that even if there was mamish in Yisra Malach. As we're saying, even if there's mamish in Yisra Malach, we'd be matur. So, Koshikah, let's be matur. It doesn't mean that any time we could find a head to do something. Therefore, build a building Erev Yomtiv because in other circumstances, if a building was going to collapse, you could rebuild a building. Well, why in the world is that a heter for me to get involved on Erev Yontif and not do my Tzorech Yontif? It's absurd what you're asking. So you have to first create the category. Tzorech Yontif. Okay, fine. Now let's see. So how far should we go? No. If on Chol HaMoed itself, there are cases where you can get a haircut. So certainly the Tzorech Yontif get a haircut. But we're not saying just because you can do it. So meaning it's Tzorech Yontif. Shor Rabbanan. Those things which are necessary for Yontif, the Rabbanan were matir, using this as the wedge to take it out of the category of the Yisr B'chlal, but something Lav Tzorech Yontif doesn't even begin. That was no point of the Yisr. Lo Shor Rabbanan, we don't want you involved in anything but what's needed. Yeah, that's an interesting point that is basically discussed later on about the last day of, we're going to get to it even later today. First part. Ein mifanim mibayit labayit. You cannot move during Chol HaMoed. It's a great time to move. You know, kids are out, everything's wonderful. So what is the ikur? Can you imagine? So, no, there's no moving things from one house to another. Aval mifanehu lechatzero. You can, however, move from a house to a different house. That's what the Gemara assumes it means now. That's what it's going to answer. But right now, it's a chotzer of the house is what it ends up meaning, not a chotzer that you own somewhere else. In other words, but what it sounded like is you can't move from a house to a house, but a house to a chotzer you can move. So in other words, as long as I'm going from Washington to L.A., you know, but you don't bring the stuff into the house, just put it into the yard. That's okay. That's what it sounded like. At least they're getting to be more fun to dance to. Ein mevim kelim bebeit ha'oman. You cannot collect now your microwave from the microwave repair shop and bring it home on Yontif. Im chosheish lehem. Now, if you're worried that something is going to happen to them, meaning you pay the guy, when he comes to collect it, he's going to say, it's going to say, you owe me for fixing your microwave or something like that. So then you can move them, but don't bring them all the way home. Bring beam of fun of them, lechatzer acher. We'll see details of this in the Gemara. Other than the one that they're in where the Muman has them. But the Gemara is going to be Mazbatis.
Why shouldn't we have thought we could have moved it in the Chatzera, or other than Gershka, why couldn't we
do it? It's exactly what we're going to be talking in a minute. But the Gemara will work it out. Asked the Gemara, didn't you just say that Ein Mefanim? You said Ein Mefanim. I mean, the whole point of there of Ein Mefanim is that we don't want you going to the Tircha moving from one place to another. Well, why are you telling me now I can go across town to another Chatzer? Ein Mefanim means Klal. I'm Rabbi Noden. Seifat on the Bayachib Chatzer we're talking about. You can move something out of your house into your yard. That's all we're saying. Want to take your table outside, table and chairs outside. Take your table and chairs outside. But you can't move move your home. That's all that we're saying. And in Mevim Kelim Mibet Oman. Now Rav Papa says, you know, when we were young Talmidim, Rava was Bodik one, and he asked us the following. So how do you guys understand this? The Mishnah says Ein Mevim Kelim Mibet Oman, and yet it says Beferish Molechin Umevim Kelim Mibet Oman. Don't try to tell me. The nafka means in terms of the moed. It says Beferish over here, even though your microwave maybe isn't kosher Pesach, so you're not going to be using it during Pesach. It says here that you're allowed to pick it up. You're even allowed to bring it in. Maybe Molechin. So how do you guys explain that? And we told him, Rishanina Lay, what we answered him was, we said, wait a second, there's two different cases over here. Kan bi arba asar, kan bi cholosho moed. It's two completely different issues. The case that you brought us over here, Molechin o mevin kemi betoman, is referring to a time where there's no Isser Malacha Mamers. It's on the 14th of Nisan. And the Mishnah that's asering is talking about during Cholomoid, is what our Mishnah is referring to. So it's no kash. Or, tried another teretz, ibay deima. Maybe even the bright that you refer to is referring to Chol HaMoed, not only the 14th. And it's mutar indeed to pick up your microwave, but only in cases where you don't trust the guy. So kan b'mamino, kan k'sheino mamino. If you don't mind leaving it there till after Yantin, and there's no shash that the guy is going to start either keeping it, gouging you, or whatever the case may be. So over there, you can leave it there. Because what's the tzorach that's involved in it? But which you're in a case where you don't trust him, so then you are maybe. And indeed, the Braita supports this. But Tanya, the Braita says, Mevi'im kelim mi beit ha'oman, kigon, kad mi beit ha'kadar. You could go pick up now your new pottery from the pottery house. Kos mi beit ha'zagag. You could pick up your new set of glasses for the glassmaker. But you can't pick up things that you're not going to need during Yontif, like tzemer, mi beit ha'tzava, or where you've given it in to dye and I want to pick it up, it's just raw wool. What are you going to do with it? Or kelim of other types, mi beit ha'oman, you're going to go pick up your new thread. If he doesn't have what to eat, so then you can pay him. Yeah. What do you mean? You brought in the microwave 3 weeks ago, and I was counting on having the money for Yontif. So, okay, so pay it. So, no tenglos charog. Why do you have to bring it to your house? That kosher Pesach anyway. Umenicha etzlo. V'yime no mami no. Over here, the guy may indeed charge you again afterwards, or who knows what. You don't know what kind of great ideas he's going to have. Or they charge you for, you know, anybody who left it over, you know, a little more than 7 days. So then, you're allowed to move it away from him, and menicha. Leave it, but don't bring it to your house. Put it somewhere else. If you don't really trust anything but a place where you can take good care of it, so then maybe bitzina betoch beto. Yeah, but this is not a very good teretz, because this teretz only has to do with meviim, the bringing it back, picking it up. The Baraita said molichin. How are you going to explain that? What possible reason is there to bring your microwave in during Cholomoed? If you're not allowed to bring it in with Kapila, if you're not going to be needing it. Therefore, let's go back to your first teretz. There's a difference between the 14th and between Chol HaMoed, and that was very good.
Give it to a goy to work on it.
You can't be Molechit.
Right. Before the Moed,
to create the contract we spoke about earlier. That's Mutter, as long as there's no Medida, Mishkal, and so on. But to actually carry it to the street, to bring it into the that you're not allowed to do. Mechafim et haketziot bakash. Now you've taken up your fruit to dry up on the roof, and you're afraid it's gonna rain on it, ruin it. You're allowed to cover it with straw. And Rabbi Yehuda says you can even be me'aved. It's not clear what that is, but the Gemara will explain it. Mochrei perot ksut v'kelim. People that are selling things that are generally l'tzarach hamoed. So you're selling food, or you're selling clothing, or the various kitchen utensils. These are things that are mutter for people to buy, and you could sell it because of that. But mochrim b'tzina l'tzarach hamoed, you don't open up your store the way you normally do, and we'll see if he does in the Gemara. But you can sell. People that are osek in the preparation of food, let's say tzadik, Sayadin, or Dishushot, somebody who is a Sayad, so he catches the deer, let's say, for your venison dinner, and the Dishushot, these are people who do Disha, or Hagorusot, people who will grind up your peas and things like that to make the grisim for your shalant. Osim Bitsina Letzarech HaMoed, they too can do it, but again, we don't want it to be in the open, so in the back of the room they can do it where people don't know this. Rav Yosi Omer Hemiach Miro Al Atzman. Now that's a vague statement. I mean, it could mean, they really could, but the fact that you see them doing a Bitsina is only a Chomer that they took on themselves. Or it could be Rav Yosi is arguing entirely and he's saying, well, you may be right, the Bitsina it's Mutter, but in fact it's Osir because the Minig is not to do it at all. That the Gemara is going to ask. So Pligi Bar Rav Chia Bar Abba V'Rav Asi. There's a machlokus about what was accurate in what Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan both said. Machlokus between their Talmidim. Chanomer mechapin, the word mechapin that we said over here, according to the Tanakhama, as opposed to the ma'avim of Rabbi Yehuda, is that mechapin means aklushi, putting a light layer of straw, and me'avim comes from the word av, thick. So it means a smoothie. Put on a lot of coverage, so that it's a real cover and doesn't allow any rain through. V'chad Amar, whereas the other one said, no, what Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan both agreed on in this Mishnah with Balak, that mechapin, that's no matter how well you're mechapin, ben aklushi, ben asmuchi, ma'avin is not a reference to the cover. Ma'avin is a reference to the preparation of the material for coverage. So what it means is, even though, let's say, you have these dates spread out on the roof, so according to the Tanakhama, you can take a cover, please a plastic, and spread it over everything, and that way you can protect them. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'avin is a reference to the dates themselves. You can collect them and make them a thick pile, which will allow you to cover it with a small piece of plastic, and that's what it's referring to. So that's the Osinotam Kemin Kri, you make them like a pile, like you would with grain. Tanyan Amiachi, indeed, the Bryce also says Ma'avimotam Kemin Kri.
Without coverage as well?
No, with coverage. We're saying you can even do this. Mokrei Beirot Ksut V'Kelim, Mokrim Betzina, and then Rabbi Yosi came along, it says the Minag. Yeah. The issue is always here.
So if it's more tirchah, ultimately, to a pile, then it is to spread him over there. You would
nonetheless, he's being matir, because that's the most effective way to take care of him. We saw there was always a question of tirchah versus loss. So how much exactly? That's what we spoke about yesterday. There's no fixed rules in this. So Rabbi Yosi said that the minhag is that they don't do it. Don't do what? You're saying the minhag is that they were marked not to do it at all? Even Bettina? Or are you saying the contrary? Really, it's mutter even shalom betzina, but the minhag is that they're av de betzina, and he's being mekel. So you're saying it's halacha that you have to do it betzina. I'm telling you it's not halacha, but they're machra on themselves. Tashma. Let's see if we can bring a raya from this brayta. Mochre peirot. You know what, Richie? I'm afraid that Joel has you beat. We're going to have to start taking a new victim. He's up. He was just absent for a couple of decades here now. So let's take a look at the bright. Mochrei peirot ksut v'kelim mochrim b'tzina l'tzarech ha-moed. To which Rabbi Yosi replied, "Well, I could tell you that tagarei tferia heinich mira latzmat shoyu mochrim kol ikar." So here, what's it clear? That Rabbi Yosi is saying the minhag was not to do it at all, and then continue the Tanakama. And tzadei chayot v'ofot v'dagim, the trappers and the fishermen, they can be tzad, but only b'tzina l'tzarech ha-moed. Well, I mean, it depends. There's some people who, no matter how much they're tzad, nothing ever goes in. We were talking about the fish traps. Everything right. Poor Richie goes out. Let's see what we got today.
Yeah, man.
You never can tell.
Yeah, we know.
Maybe he has the lower channel open and the fish get out.
We can try that. So, to which Rabbi Yosi replied, "Well, I can tell you that in Akko, the tzadei Akko were rachmir alav shoyu tzadim kolikar." So again, the point over here is at all. Dushushe chilka targes v'tisne. People who go and cut up the grain, the way that they would make cereals, they would moisten the grain a little bit so it would be easy to cut through, and they would chop it. And the question is, how how much to chop. If you've got a tiger in your box, a tigre, that you would chop up a little bit more than you would do for your chilka. And then tisni, I mean, that's the ultimate, as we'll see. We're going to explain that. But people could do that. Dorshishin betzina, the tzarech amoid, but as Rabbi Yossi pointed out, aha, but the deshurshe tzipori, heinich mir la tzvanshleu dorshishin kol ikar. So again, it's clear from here that the vague language of Rabbi Yossi was actually meant to be a chumrah, not a kulam. But the rabbonim are being matir betzina, the minig is to asra filo betzina. Omer Abaya, by the way, these words, says Abaya, chilka means to split. So it's chadal atarta. You take a grain of wheat and you split it into two. A tirgis, that's already, now that's wheaties, that's chadal atlas. And a tisni is chadal arba. It's referring to spelt, basically. What do you mean it's referring to spelt? Chilka tirgis v'tisne. Tmeim b'chol makom. You have to assume that chilka tirgis v'tisne were exposed to water, and therefore if they become exposed now to tuma, they're definitely tamei because they were mukhsha. So vishle melaman yom akhodot arte v'tlas v'arba. I mean, if these things are basically the number of times that you split the particular chita, the only way you do this is you put it into water, you soften it first. So b'shum ha'achi tamei b'chol makom. These kasha, I would explain, of course. It's always tamei because it was always mukhsha l'kabel tuma. You're going to say it's talking about spelt. What does that have to do with big mukhsha l'kabel tuma? It's kunta, my tamei b'chol makom. Haloyis kasha, why would I necessarily assume that's a grain like any other grain? Either it was exposed or wasn't exposed. There's no reason to assume that it was exposed to water. No, it's talking about over here the miklafa. It's talking about that it's what we call pearled, you know, like pearl barley, where they remove the outside coating and now they make it shiny, you know, so this is called pearl. So there, the way that you do that, the way you do it is it's moistened and then you can rub them and the outside comes off, but if you don't moisten them, it doesn't come off. And my karle chilka, why do we call it chilka? The shakel chilkayu, Rashi learned, which is strange because shakel chilkayu doesn't seem to mean that. Rashi learns that it's a language of chalak, so that it's that what you've done is you smoothed it down, pearled. That's the point. But then why does it say shishaka? Right, but he's saying the shaka, since you took off that part, so now chilkayu you have made it. Others learned chilkayu is chaluk. A chaluk is a robe, it's clothed. So you took chilkay, you took off its clothes.
Right? Yeah, clothes. It was cloaked, and you took off the cloak.
Cloak?
Because cloaked in something is a covering. A
right, but I don't know if chaluk itself comes from the idea of cloak, does it?
In modern Hebrew, robe is a chaluk.
Right, but I don't think the makor has something to do with hidden.
Covered, this would be...
So
the grain is cloaked in this covering.
Yeah, that's what we just said. I thought you were stressing...
I thought the word cloaking would be a more accurate word than...
I'm not sure. I thought you were referring to the fact that cloak is to hide. I'm saying cloak is not necessarily hidden. It's a dress.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was saying. Robe, yeah.
What, Rabbi Chilkiah?
You mean, did he always walk around it without his robe?
No.
According to one man, the armory was sort of shiny. And it was I don't know. Could be, but we do find those who didn't have facial hair, like Rabbi Yochanan or something, or Vardamas. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not aware. But in any event, there's yet another way of learning it, which is that it also comes from the Lashon of Chaluk. You parted it from its covering. So it could mean any of the above, and that's why we could still call it Chilka. Mason. Hanoder min adagan, somebody who answers himself on dagan. Now, the real meaning of dagan is something in Aramaic, the way we use it, is something that is idgan. Idgan means it's piled up. If you make a kri out of it, that's idgan. And that's the point, that it's called dagan, even lahalacha. So, digancha is only if it's idgan. But it doesn't really mean tvua. It's not the same word as tvua.
It's grains.
Grains that are piled. Right, or pile a bowl in the broadest sense.
Right, it's not.
It's exactly what we're going to talk about now. So somebody who asks himself, I'm Dagan, he is not not allowed to use dry pul hamitzri, because that's also idgam. That's something that people pile up. But if it's still locked, it's soft, then it's not piled up. And he's mutter ba'orez, because orez is not piled. Chilka v'tirgis v'tisne. Now, if you tell me that the meaning of the chilka tirgis tisne is splitting one grain into two, or one into three, or one into four, so that it would explain to me why it's no longer dark, then after l'mitara dagan. But if you're telling me it's spelt, I mean, well, I understand. Why is that different than chilka? Of course that's piled up. So why wouldn't you be anti? So you see clearly that Abaya was right, and that the meaning is chadali arba, and not kunta. Exactly. Some of the kidneys. Well, no, it's, I mean, not necessarily based on this, but it's...
Because you see the bean.
Yeah,
but...
not necessarily.
Yeah, it's all about beans.
Ravuna sharla lahani krufiata... There were people who were selling spices. So they are allowed, he said, to go along even outdoors in the shuk, and there's no problem about selling. Of Kahana, what do you mean? It says chanut tuchal estayo poteach v'nevel kedarko. If you have a chanut that's open essentially into a style, that doesn't mean necessarily into the shopping center style, but that it's surrounded, in other words, by amudim, and it's under, sort of in the back of the wall, like over here in the Cardo, people don't see it. Okay, so over there you could actually open the store normally. But if it's open into the street, you can't just open your store in Chol HaMoed. You make it clear that it's open for customers who need to come in. So you have two doors in front usually. One door you can't block, the other one is open, and people feel they have to squeeze through. So Poteach Echad, but he's no El Echad. You're telling me that an Erev Yontav Akhmachov. Now here is the reference that Bobby was referring to earlier, that if it's Erev Yontev of Sukkot, so then Bedavka, we want to open even more than usual, the special din, because of Shmini Atzeres, which is a Chag Bifnei Atzmo, so people tend to be mezalzel, that we need to encourage that special kavod that should be done for it, and therefore, you go out and make everybody feel that it's a very important day to buy. So, but that's the only reason. I mean, they make Kvod Yom Tov Acharonim, but not for that. We're not going to be matir. Why is he matir running around selling stam during Chol HaMoed Besami? Shalo, b'nei Kvod Yom Tov lo. Apparently, we would not allow you just to open up fruit stand in the middle of the street during Chol HaMoed. Lokasha, b'pereya, b'tavlin. There's a big difference between selling peirot. I mean, people buy peirot for the whole week, maybe. So they're going to do now their week shopping on Chol HaMoed for after Yontif. So therefore, we keep it betzina, that it should look like, okay, I have to run in and get a couple of onions that I forgot to buy for my cholent. Okay, but not that you're doing a major shopping spree during Yontif. When it comes to tavlin, everybody understands tavlin is something that once they're chopped up, they're going to already lose a lot of their pungency. If somebody's buying them, he's only going to be buying them now for Yontif. So therefore, what it's referring to over here is the type of thing that has already been chopped or already been crushed, and now it's got to be that you're looking at it fresh. A little bit of machlok has been right, what it is exactly, because Rashi, strange Rashi, which Tosfos asks on from the Orach, the Lashon of Tavlin, Rashi says it could be talking about kruv, karshinin, which are things also that they rot very quickly, but that we don't usually call them Tavlin, although they're certainly pungent. Hadron alach misha hafach et zeitav. Wouldn't you like to know? We better take a new take on that. All right. Harbor, Perry, Harbor, Tavlin. Hadron Allah, Misha, Fagat Zetab. Wouldn't you like to know who is allowed to get a haircut even on Chol HaMoed? Stay tuned for Elo Negalim. The following people get a haircut. Yes, indeed. Don't forget your Mo's Chitim, all your ships at sea. You too can participate. Tell me. Was 9 good? I'm here. 8:30?
Yeah, 9 to 8:30.
8:30, okay. Good. With? מכניס אדם פירותיו מפני הגנבים ושלא פשטנו מן המשווה בשביל שלא תיאבד, ובלבד שלא יכוון את מלאכתו במועד, וכולם אם כיוונו מלאכתם במועד, יובדו. תנא, ובלבד שיחסים בצנעה לתוך ביתו. רבי יוסי בא לקישור, אביא רבי ימומה, אבל הבית, אז אני רוצה שבלבד שיחסים בצנעה בתוך ביתו, הוא אמר לי, this is בצנעה. הצנעה דהני זה ימומה. כיוון דה בלילה, בואו גברי יתרי, and not only that, בואו מדוף מדנורה. So that's אפשר מילטה, and the less אפשר, the more צנעה. ושולה פשטנו, it's interesting that we use the same word in English, as some, we say it's loud. We don't mean loud in the sense that it's noisy necessarily, but it's loud, it's not tzina. The saying afsha means loud, and exactly, it means literally loud, but I mean, clearly we're talking about, it's sort of a mixed metaphor to call a bright light loud, or a red, you know, red clothing loud, but that's exactly the way it's used over here. Sholot pishtano min ha-mishra, boy, min ein rabir meir meir rabi zera, ki vein malakto b'moid u'meit, ma'o shikansu b'moid acharot. Eve came to Lomit Sarah Mosin before, maybe over there Kansub and Akhara, but that could be because it's an Isri Rice. Eve came to Lomit Evid, Abdul Evid, Kirchavi Mumaid, Kansub and Akhara, that even that could be true. But there it would be Mishum to call Yuma Mavkalumi Mitzvahs. Question is Achamai. Is it a din in the Gavra, Kanis Rabbanan, if I'll let it? Or Dilma, it's a din in the moment itself, Fahit, Amalaita Nitua. Sadesh Nit Kavtsa Bishvi, Tizor Alamotsoi Shvi, Nit Taival, Nit Daira, Lot Izor Alamotsoi Shvi. That nonetheless, naktinan etiva umeit benozorah. So you see from there that the didei katzur abanim and very low katzur abanim. That the same thing would be true here. But chalamoy, the didei katzur abanim and very low katzur abanim. Omer Abaye, furthermore, naktinan that timita rotav shachavero umeit lo kansur benoacharav my time. Hezek sheno niker actually is lo shme hezek. So it's pure knas. The didei katzur abanim, the very low katzur abanim. Ain lokfin batim avadim uveima. By the way, I suspect that the way to understand the words hezek shen anikar lav shmei hezek is to say that even after the knas, my time, hezek shen anikar lav shmei hezek, it remains lav shmei hezek, except that there's a knas to pretend that it's hezek. The rabbanim didn't give it a din of hezek, because otherwise, what do you mean? Of course, we knew that. That's what we asked. Hezek shen anikar lav shmei hezek, but the rabbanim were kainis. What's the din? So what are you telling me? The din is, since it's hezek shen anikar lav shmei hezek. Understand? It doesn't even make any sense unless he's giving a tam. Hezek shen anikar remains in a hezek. There's a knas. Okay, the knas of the day comes. The very low comes. I have to. Ein lokim batim avadim uveim ala tzorach ha-moed ala tzorach ha-mocher shen lomai yochal. Boy, mine rabba mirav nachman. Okay, that's in terms of business. How about schar pula? Shein lo mayocha. What about that? Omar le tanina. What's the meaning of O letzorach hamocher shein lo mayocha? What is that at? Nati yamai. Lav latu yischar pula? Omar le? Not necessarily. Kotri kirushi kamefarish. Eit veabai. Ein kotrim shtare chov b'moed. V'im enu ma'amino shein lo mayocha la rezi yechtov. Shein lo mayocha is coming to add what? My lav latu yischar pula v'sofer. Shema amino. Mozif rev shesh. V'chachomim omrim. Shalosh umaniyot. Osin melacha barvei psachim matchatzot chayatim, saparim, and kofsim. Chayatim shekein hedyo tofer kedarka b'chol ha-shamoed, so we're matrit completely erev yontem. Saparim and kofsim shekein abayim mibinat hayam, v'ayotzei mibet ha-asurim, mutarim lesaper lechabez b'chol ha-shamoed, so we're matrit completely erev yontem. V'yisa kedai tezkar pula she'in lo mayochal. Is a mutter, so then we should matter everything in Erev Yom Tov. Because, kol melachot nami lishtra, since I can find a case where it's mutter doing kol ha-moed, it's because of schar pula she'in lo mayochal. Maskif lav Rav Papa, I could ask you even without schar pula. You have the same problem. Let's allow binyan, shekein kotel ha-goel, or shekarav mizotero b'nei kedark, or b'nei sakana. Maskif lav Ravina, I can ask you the same question without schar pula. Me'ata lav la, Lishtre, shekein kotvim kedushe noshim gitim v'shovim. Elam Ravashi, obviously, moed arba'asa karamita. Moed is all mishum tircha. B'makom p'seder shor rabon. Arba'asa is mishum tzorach yantiv. First you have to decide what tzorach yantiv, no? So meeted at tzorach yantiv, haircuts, it's cleaners, okay? So there is shor rabbanon if there's a smach legavin a malacha, but midi the love tzarif yantiv. We don't even begin lo shor rabbanon. Ein mefani mi bayit lebayit al mefaneu lechatzero. Ein mevim keli mi beit ha'oman im chashesh lehem mefanan lechatzera acharet. I thought you just said Ein Lefanim. I'm Rabbi Sefer Atan Rabbi Chebachatzer. Ein Levim Kelim Mi Beit Oman. Omrif Papa Bariklan Rama. Tnan Ein Levim Kelim Mi Beit Oman. What about the bright that says Molochina Levim Kelim Mi Beit Oman? Alpha Pishenet Zarchamoi. And we answered him, Kan Be Arbasar. Kan b'choloshamoi, and it could be as another teretz. Maybe of b'choloshamoi, kan b'ma'amino, and kan b'shein ma'amino. And indeed, the writer says the difference between ma'amino and ma'amino. Maybe im kelim mibet ha'oman, kegon kad mibet ha'kadar, kos mibet ha'zagag, avlod semra mibet ha'tzava, lo kelim mibet ha'oman, v'im ein lo ma'yochal, noten lo scharo minicho etzlo. But he may no ma'amino, so okay, so let me nichol b'bayit ha'samuchlo, v'in choshesh lam shem yiganevu, mevi'in an b'tzina b'toch mito. Yeah, but that only answers the mevi'im, it doesn't answer the molochin is still a kasha. Diktoni ein mevi'in or amish, obviously kashkenin molochin, elam achvar t'kirshanin ha'mikor, which could answer both issues. No comparison between arba'asa and the cholamoy. מחפים דקציות בקש, רבי רבי רב מהווים, בוחרי פירות קסות וכלים, בוחרים בצינה לצורך המוי. הציידים, הדרשושות, הגרוסות, עושים בצינה לצורך המוי, רבי יוסי אומר, הם נחמירו על עצמם. פליגי ברוך יהיה ברב ורב עשי, תרבר משמי לחיסקי ורבי אוכרן. חד אמר, what was said was that מחפים means הקלושה, and מהווים means הסמוכה. Chalamon mechapin includes either aklushi or asmuchi. Ma'avim refers to the produce. And osinotam kemin kri. Tani amiyochi, ma'avim, osinotam kemin kri, tevrebira. Mochre peirot ksut v'kelim mochrim b'tzina. Yiboyel. Heinich mir alatzman, meaning that they didn't do it at all, or heinich mir alatzman, and that's the reason that we do b'tzina. Tashma, mochrei perot ksut v'kelim, mochrim betzina, the Torah Hamoi, to which Rabbi Yossi replied, well, all I know is tagei tveria, emich miru alat shoyot mochrim kolikar. Nozer tanakam holds, tzadeh chayot v'yofot v'dagim, tzadim betzina le Torah Hamoi, Rabbi Yossi tzadeh akoich malat v'shlo yitzarim kolikar. Dushushe chilke targis tisne. Doshim betzina letzorcha moed, Rabbi Yossi omer, I can tell you doshim tzipori, if miralat mechal doshim kolika. Om Rabbi, once we talked about the words, I'll explain it. Chilka is chadal atarge. Targas is chadal atlata, and tisne is chadal arba. As when Ravdimi came, he said, I heard that it means kunta. Meisvei chilka tirgas tisne tvein b'chol mokot. Therefore, the tmein b'chol mokum, because the only way you do that is by making them wet first. So then, obviously, it kashuri. El man yomar kunta. Why would we assume the kunta necessarily got wet? Amay tmein b'chol mokum. Haloyit kasher. No, here it's talking about pearled kunta. You're going to mikvah. The lav the shadlo b'maya lo having a kalfa. V'amay korel chilka and then shakel chilkai. Meisvei hanodim in hadagan asur af bepola mitzvi yavesh umutar balach umutar baorez bechilka tigris v'tisne. By the way, David, you mentioned before that rice isn't piled. Why is that? It rolls too easily.
The truth is, I don't know why. I guess because it's heavy. It rolls away.
Because
it's heavy.
Do you know?
No, I just.
I mean, I know it's not bad, but why? What's the physical? Just curious as to why. Yeah, do you know why? Weird.
Maybe it rolls. Maybe it's been wet. It absorbs moisture.
Is that why?
Because it absorbs moisture. Spread it out. Then how that? Is that why you grow on it?
Even when it dries, well, I mean, it's not because it's dry and wet. Like it is by the pole.
No, but I mean, they're growing. It's wet.
No, but here we talk about parliamentary both types. Like, how about dried rice? That's not like a new thing, is it?
Dry, right? All rice gets dried.
Yeah. And what about so Bishon Leman Mechadatar Tichadatlat Tichadatlar B'Shapin Elachlu Mitorah Dagan But Leman Yom Akunta It's regular Dagan Kasha Ravuna Shorla Lahanuk Rufayta Lamezel Lizvini Ki Urchayu B'Shuka. Eisher of Kana Chanut Ptuchal Estal Poter Vino Kedarko, but if it's Ptuchal Eshes Rabbi, certainly if it's a Nil Eshok, then Poter Vino Elochot. Eres, Yom Tov Achon Shal Chag, and only then, Motziu Mater Chukeyu Bepeirot, Yishvil Kvod Yom Tov Achon. You see, it's only me, thank Kvod Yom Tov Achon. But Shalom, you thank Kvod Yom Tov Achon, not? No Kasha Habuteri Habitavlin.
And again, the difference being big or small?
No, the difference being it's clearly a covet of the moed. Because I wouldn't buy it before I need it. Because I need it to be in a, very pungent state.
Also, it's like the arrows do when it strikes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why they call it crew fighter.
What would that mean?
Well, that's what they sell. What was the one I was doing?